Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch and Matt Douglas with you. Can you name the wrestler whose theme song this is?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Razor Ramon. His finishing move was the Razor's Edge.
That's right.
You know who is as sharp as a Razor's Edge?
Sean Dunnigan.
That's right. Our next guest, Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, but nobody oozes machismo as much as Andy Bullbarch.
That's right. I used to be able to use that line, and people just stopped believing me for some reason. I don't know why, but they just quit believing it. Dunny, good to have you on as always, my man. Can we skip past Saturday's win against Michigan State? Is it possible to bypass that?
Do you guys remember what I said during the bye week? You know, in order to win the bye week, they don't be stupid and don't get hurt.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm looking at this Saturday as. Don't be stupid. Don't get hurt.
Yes, precisely. We'll get to that, and I'm glad you bypassed last Saturday's win against Michigan State.
Did you a big favor right there.
I was really hoping that we could totally look past that. I don't know if D'Antonio's bunch just forgot to play. Maybe they walked off the bus. I don't know what they did, but that was awful because that's usually...
They looked about as worse. They looked worse than Ohio State did against Iowa.
Yes, they did. 100% agreed. And look, obviously, Ohio State was jacked up and they were ready to rock and roll for that game. Michigan State almost always plays them tough. And a week ago, when we were speaking, we had talked specifically about how surprised the three of us were that the spread was as high as it was. And lo and behold, Ohio State covered that four times over.
It was unbelievable. That team came out on fire and did not take the pedal from the metal until the fourth quarter when they started kicking field goals. It was amazing. That was probably one of the best Ohio State teams I've seen, or best Ohio State games I've seen offensively and defensively this season. They were just clicking on all cylinders.
We need to bring this up because it's a hot topic, I think, that at least needs to be discussed. College football playoff discussions always run rampant this time of the year. There's a fan base that always feels like their team's not getting their fair shot. You know, and there are a lot of people out there that still think Ohio State can get into the playoffs with a little bit of help. What are they saying about that down in Columbus? Are there people down there that legitimately think that even with two losses they could still get in?
I'm one of them. A lot of people certainly think that Ohio State can get in with some help. First of all, Ohio State needs to go ahead and take care of business on Saturday. They need to take care of business and win big against Michigan at Michigan. They need to take care of business and beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. All three, you know, Ohio State has to do their part in this equation and win out big. The way I look at it, the next thing that has to happen is Alabama needs to win out. They need to, of course, beat Mercer this week. They need to beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl. They need to beat Georgia in the SEC Championship. Oklahoma needs to win out. They need to beat TCU or whoever they play in the Big 12 Championship. And they need Miami to win out. They need Miami to beat a one-loss Clemson, make them two losses. And then at that point, it'll be interesting to see the arguments between Ohio State and Clemson, because I think that's what it's going to come down to. You know, Wisconsin would be done because they'd be bad. They lose to Ohio State. You know, Georgia, who's in front of them, they would be out because they would have two losses. And also, Auburn would have three losses, so they're eliminated. Notre Dame, they don't really have a big game left on their schedule, and they don't have a conference championship, so that kind of eliminates them. So that's why you're coming down. You would come down to Ohio State and Clemson, and to me, who lost last? That would be Clemson. That would be the elimination for me personally. Again, I'm coming at this a little bit shaded, but you know that is, I think, Ohio State's path into the college football playoff.
I was going to say, you don't think USC works their way into this equation if they end up running the table the rest of the way? They're a two-loss team. They would be a two-loss team as well. But
they would also be beating a two-loss or a three-loss team in their conference championship game if they were to win. So I think that's kind of what eliminates them and puts Ohio State ahead of them, because if Ohio State beats an undefeated Wisconsin, that's a bigger name. A Wisconsin would more likely be 5, maybe 4 or 3 at that point. 2 or 3 weeks from now.
I agree with you. But do you think the selection committee would look at the teams that are in it and say Ohio State, Oklahoma already played and perhaps get past that?
I don't think so. I think they're looking for the four best teams and for the two best games. And who wouldn't want to see a rematch of Oklahoma and Ohio State Part 3 this time on a neutral site? More than likely the Sugar Bowl. I would kind of be hoping for the Rose Bowl, but more than likely the Sugar Bowl. And who wouldn't want to see that? Also, who wouldn't want to see a rematch between Ohio State and Alabama in the Sugar Bowl? You got to look at that, too. And, the committee isn't stupid when it comes to college football playoff, when it comes to college football and TV ratings. And one of the best, rated teams in all the country is Ohio State.
Sure.
And who wouldn't want to see Sean Dunnigan as the Grand Marshal of that Rose Bowl Day parade, right? That's why you're hoping this thing goes to Pasadena. You can't fool anybody.
Absolutely. I mean, I love L.A. I love California. I've never been to a Rose Bowl. It's one of the last things on my bucket list, sports bucket list, I want to go to, and I'd love to be out there covering it.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking Ohio State football. Big win over Michigan State last week. And in the eyes of some, they've at least kind of sort of gotten their way back into that playoff discussion. There's still so much football left to be played. Not only do you have the final 2 weeks of the regular season for some, but you've got the conference championship after that. So a lot of teams will have 3 weeks left. So many things can change over the course of the next 3 weeks here, and that's what makes this so fascinating. Yeah. We'll stay on track here, though, and take a look at Senior Day on Saturday. Donna, you already alluded to it. They need to treat this the way they treated that bye week. Just don't do anything stupid, and you should come out on top. However, I think it can certainly be mentioned that there are a lot of emotions on Senior Day, and they're going to honor some guys that have been big parts of this program over the course of the last four, in some cases, 5 years.
So, absolutely.
So because of that, it does change the dynamic, albeit slightly, maybe just a little bit. Senior Day on Saturday, any special plans for all these Buckeye seniors, or is it going to be business as usual on Senior Day?
You know, they'll certainly be honored pregame. They'll get their own special entrance, one at a time, with their parents. You know, they'll hug them. They'll come out and give a bro hug to Coach Meyer as they come through the band entrance and everything like that. But after the pregame activities, business as usual. We've gotten a chance to talk to a lot of the seniors, if not all 19 of them this week, and everyone, including JT Barrett, Billy Price, Taekwon Lewis, Jalen Holmes, Chris Worley. They're all saying, you know, it's going to be nice, and we'll get to the emotions of Senior Day after the game. During the game, before the game, is business as usual.
Okay, interesting. It's always fascinating to get a player's thoughts on that, because I think a lot of them would tell you, look, it's a nice gesture, it's cool, you get all that stuff, but it takes you out of your routine before the game, because you have to ramp up and then tone it down, then ramp up, then tone it down again. You're riding that emotional roller coaster, and some guys will try and deny it. But look, it does play at least a little bit of a role, because it's different than what you normally do when you're getting ready for a game. Now, it's hard to imagine that, with that considered, Illinois would be able to put up any kind of a fight in this game. But is there at least a small inkling of this team maybe looking past Illinois and waiting for the Michigan Wolverines, who are in the wings next Saturday?
No, I don't think they're. I don't think they're looking past them. Now I think everybody else is looking past them. You know, all the fans and everything like that. You know, but I think the Buckeyes themselves, and the players and the coaches, they know what's at stake. You know, they might be saying in the media, oh, "We're not looking towards the college football playoff." They know what's at stake. They know they need to go out and handle their business and put up a big number against Illinois to have a shot. And I think that they can do that on Saturday. Again, they'll be honored. It'll be a great ceremony. Great for Billy Price, who has broken a record and started 51 consecutive games for the Buckeyes. Great for JT Barrett. Great for everybody involved, and Taekwon Lewis and Chris Worley and Tracy Sprinkle. But, you know, once that ball kicks off, it's game time, and they know what their business. They know the business at hand.
You know, it seems a little odd saying this, but to me this seems like a big game for Ohio State just because of what they had in the back half of this schedule. This is a little bit of a looser game, but obviously some things the Buckeyes still need to iron out as they get ready for Michigan, a possible Big Ten championship game, and a possible playoff here. Is that one thing that folks are kind of looking at down there in Columbus? Have coaches said anything along those lines? I know they're never going to say, well, we're going to handle Illinois, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. Remember, this is a trophy game. This is the only trophy Ohio State plays for, the prized Illibuck. They play for a wooden turtle. This means so much to these players and keeping the Illibuck. No, but and, you know, this, I believe the second oldest trophy in the Big Ten.
Best trophy in the Big Ten, if you ask me, aside from Minnesota and Nebraska.
No, but it, you know, it's a big game for them because, again, they've won this thing a lot. They want to keep this thing. They want to etch another name in the yellow book, and I think they'll handle their business on Saturday.
Yeah, let me tell you, I lose a lot of sleep knowing I may not be able to stare at that wooden turtle if I don't win at night. That's the weirdest thing.
It's a brand new turtle this year, I believe.
How about that?
I believe it's a brand new turtle that it needs some new polish on it after a Buckeye victory and another etching in there for Ohio State.
Any modifications made to it? Is it the same wooden turtle look to it, or have they bronzed it or anything?
It looks nicer. It looks more polished. That's about it.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe someone will come out of their shell on Saturday. Hey-o. We'll just have to wait and see.
Who's Andy Barch I know and love from college?
See, I've been hanging out of that for 10 minutes, and I just now decided to pull that one out. Well, I mean, at 2-8, obviously it's been a miserable season for the Illini, but what are the Buckeyes saying about them? Is there anything that they do well that they think might even remotely concern them on Saturday?
Coach Meyer talked about their defensive line and how they pose not a threat. He didn't say threat or problem. He just said, you know, he definitely notices their defensive line. They got some big guys up front in the defensive tackle area that they're going to have to scheme to get around in the running game. Their defense plays well. They're a defensive ball team. Let's face it, they're in the Big Ten. They're there for a reason. They have players. They have the talent. It's just, can they put it all together for 60 minutes? And second-year coach Levy Smith, he'll get his team ramped up and ready to go. But, you know, they also have their rivalry game on the following week as well against Northwestern. And this is Levy Smith's first time back in the shoe since he was an assistant some 20-odd years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to have some emotions coming into this game too. But as far as, you know, everything that I'm hearing is just their defensive line might pose a threat to Ohio State.
22 years ago, I believe it was, he was an assistant at Ohio State. Now, I didn't realize this either, Dunny, but apparently Meyer and Lovie Smith have coached against each other when they were assistants. They're not as head coaches. I think this is the first head-to-head matchup as head coaches between the two. But as assistants, these guys had met a couple of times. Did Meyer mention anything about Lovie Smith and the relationship he's got with him, or is that not really brushed?
That really wasn't brushed as far as I know. At least on Monday it wasn't. But it's again, a Big Ten atmosphere, a Big Ten game. So these coaches know each other, so I'm sure they've met and shook hands and said hello and all that. But outside of that, I don't think they're in each other's social circles, so I put it to you that way.
Fair enough. Before we get to tomorrow's action, we want to know what you think the final score of the game on Saturday is going to be.
I believe the spread is somewhere around 38 points. I say Ohio State covers. I will have Ohio State put a 70 spot on Illinois. I think Ohio State wins 70-17. 70-17 is my final score prediction.
Wow, that'll give you a lot of highlights to cut on Saturday night, won't it?
Absolutely. I will be very busy if that happens on tomorrow night, or on Saturday night.
You'll be very busy both nights, no question about that. Who are you going to cover tomorrow in the high school football playoffs in the Columbus area?
We have a very big rematch from week 8 of the high school season. We have Pickerington Central against Pickerington North at the Sales High School in the regional finals. The winner of this game goes down, or will play either St. X or Colerain down in the Cincinnati region. It should be a fun matchup. Pick North is ready to go. They're ready to exact some revenge after their loss in the regular season against Pick Central.
Cool stuff. Well, Donnie, we appreciate the time as always, my friend, and it should be noted, we look forward to not only speaking to you next week, but we look forward to seeing you next week. You'll be here in studio with us.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Can't wait to see you guys for the first time. Well, Andy, I've seen you plenty of times.
I was just going to say, you've seen me many, many times, more times than you probably care to admit, but it'll be great to have you in studio next week.
Absolutely. Can't wait for it, guys. Talk to you guys next week.
All right.
See you next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Donnie. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus talking some Ohio State Buckeye football with us. Oh, how about Dunnie saying Ohio State's going to hang 70 on the Illini?
Looks like the Little Buck's making its way back to Columbus.
Is it still in Illinois?
No, it's in Columbus. But it's got to travel with the team on occasion.
Where do you put those things? So let's just say you like Michigan, Michigan State. You do like the Paul Bunyan.
It's
got to
be like in the locker room. Minnesota and Michigan play, or what? Michigan State, I think, plays for like a million of them. Because they've got the Paul Bunyan axe.
The brass platoon.
The brass platoon with Indiana. Yeah, they've got a bunch of them.
It's weird.
The best. I made reference to it. They're bringing it back this year, with my understanding. Minnesota and Nebraska, have you heard the story behind their rivalry trophy?
No.
Well, the Big Ten had all these new teams coming in, so they created these weird ones between like Iowa and Nebraska. I mean, there was no rivalry there. There never has been. They never played each other. So Minnesota, Nebraska joking around on Twitter, I guess the Golden Gopher got on and tweeted fake faux Bo Pelini, who was the head coach at the time. They made a bet. Goldie said, we'll give you $5, or you give us $5 if you win. And the fake Bo Pelini said, if we win, can I break a wooden chair over your back? And they created the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy that a fan like put together. And when Minnesota won the game, they actually like grabbed this trophy and were carrying it. Now, I think there's actually a charity they're going to give money to, but they've supposedly brought the trophy back. How do you not love that story with the rivalry trophy?
Yeah, well, if there's a charitable tie-in, that makes it even cooler. I mean, that increases the coolness factor exponentially.
It's a parody, essentially, of the rivalry trophy. They're getting kind of outrageous here.
I won't knock it. If a charity's involved, then obviously it's fantastic, because then both sides are coming together for something even cooler than the game itself. So very, very interesting stuff. Boy, I tell you what, I could go for a mint chocolate chip milkshake trophy.
Is that what we play for every year? The putt-putt at Alien Vacation?
Golf. Yeah. I've got to go find that scorecard somewhere. Yeah. I should frame it, have you sign it, and then I'll hang it up on the wall in the office.
I don't remember how that went. Did I come close? I thought I was pretty close.
I think you were 5 or 6 strokes down.
I was in the vicinity.
Yeah. You and I both had hole-in-ones, though.
I lost. I lost to Terry, too. Terry
you
made
did.
A comeback.
You
yeah.
did have, but you had a hole-in-one. Give
I
yourself
did.
Some credit. You lost to me by 6
right.
strokes, but we both had hole-in-ones.
I'll take that. I had to be aggressive. I was behind. I knew I had to go for it.
There's nothing more gratifying than a hole-in-one.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It was like a 10-cup moment for me. I was just that's why I ended up losing. It was more about pride to me than just winning the game. I was trying to make some amazing shot that everyone was in awe of.
That was hard, man. That with those glasses on, that was really hard.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I forgot about those. Yeah,
I mean,
that made it a heck of a lot tougher. Now, I'm not really good with the glasses anyways. The 3D stuff throws me for a loop. Your depth perception's way, way off.
Well, like I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah, but that made it way harder.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Certainly created some obstacles that weren't actually there. You'd see things kind of sticking up on the carpet and think, oh, that's not actually sticking up.
Next time we go, we have to stop at that Mars bar. God, that was fun. They had Dippin' Dots there.
Cool.
They had a bunch of different kinds of candy and obviously some adult pops as well. So next time we do that tour, we'll definitely have to make a stop there.